Have you ever been on a journey? I'm sure you have. We all have. The word journey has become a very popular way of describing life. Of course, a journey is also something many of us think of more literally also. We travel. We love to describe all the places we go, the things we see, the experiences we have. We take pictures, and we definitely post them. But the word journey, it's also a way of describing an inner process. You know, whether we've gone through something traumatic, or maybe a new kind of experience, or whether it's about a relationship, or an illness. Describing the journey, reflecting on the journey, it's a way of finding inner meaning and purpose and growth and healing, insight, acceptance, peace. I'm sure any one of us can talk about our journey of life through many different situations, circumstances, or relationships in our lives. I'm sure we can. You know, changes we've experienced, losses, opportunities we've taken on, decisions we have come to and made, and then reflecting on the consequences and the learning that's come. Well, journey is also a good word to describe God, the way the Bible tells the story of God. And this is important because today in the church year, as we've already said, is Trinity Sunday. And as Christians, you know, we confess God is one, and we do that along with other faiths such as Islam and Judaism. God is one. But as Christians, we also confess that God is three. Three means God is plural somehow. How can God be one and yet also three? Why complicate God? Well, in order to understand how we came up with the doctrine of the Trinity as Christians, we need to understand the journey of God as the Bible describes it. And as Christians, we recognize this journey in three parts. Part one, God above. Psalm 8, which we heard read this morning, is a great description of what God above can mean. To experience God above is to experience God's greatness as creator of all there is. When we truly contemplate the wonders of our world, and when we open ourselves to see in all that is a creative force that is love, when we're doing this, we are opening ourselves to God above. We pray to such a God, and we seek the creative power of God's love to fill us, to strengthen us, and to guide us throughout our life journeys. We need God above us because we're only human. Even as we have unique abilities and possibilities, we are also vulnerable creatures. Psalm 8 captures this paradox beautifully, our glory and our vulnerability. O God, our God, how glorious is your name over all the earth. When I look at the heavens, the moon, and the stars which you have created, who are we that you should be so mindful of us, that you should care for us? Who are we? And yet, there's that, and yet, you have crowned us with glory and honor. And I paraphrase here, you have given us rule over the work of your hands, giving us responsibility for the earth to care for it in partnership with you, which is what this is, psalm is really saying, to care for it in partnership with you. What an awesome gift and privilege for us vulnerable creatures to be called to this glorious purpose. Our journey through life in relationship with God above is a journey of discovering our purpose as creatures created out of love in order to love in return. That's our created purpose. How are we living out that purpose in all the details of our lives? That's an important question. How spiritually alive is your relationship with God above? How do you commune with and pray to God above? This brings us to part two of God's journey. God beside. We as human beings mess things up for all our ability and possibility. That's true for me, it's true for you too. We make mistakes. And if it's not bad enough that we make the mistakes, we compound our mistakes by doing things like denying them or justifying our actions or blaming others. It's their fault. Or blaming circumstances, it was out of my control. Or shutting ourselves down because we're ashamed rather than rising up and taking responsibility. You know, that's our story. But since we are connected with God, God's story evolves in relationship to our story. How is God above going to engage our failures and mistakes? Will God destroy us in God's wrath? You know, this reading was saying God's wrath. Well, why would God be wrathful? Well, think about times when you're angry, when you see and hear about all the damage being done to this earth or to other people, the abuse, the hurt, the suffering. Anger is there, wrath is there because God is invested, God cares. That's why God's wrathful. So, but would God destroy us in God's wrath? You know, start again, like the story of Noah, right? Start again, because things are so messed up. Or will God find another way with us? You know, this is the way the storyline goes in the Bible. This is where our second reading from Romans gives us a sample of the next move in the story of God, namely God beside us in the person of Jesus Christ. God chooses to engage our failure and our mistakes by coming to be where we are rather than demanding that we go where God is and then punishing us for failing to make it. Jesus comes as a particular human being, vulnerable just like any of us. And yet, this same Jesus also carries in him this infinite love of God, which he embodies in a way that can transform us. This is what we confess. As Christians, we make the audacious claim that God's true heart is revealed in this move of God from being above us to also coming beside us to live as we live, to share our lives in their ups and their downs, all their possibility, but also all their pain too. In Jesus, God comes to be beside us. In theological terms, we call this the incarnation. God incarnate in the human Jesus. Our reading from Romans speaks about Jesus opening up a new door to God, a new way to find redemption even through all the mistakes and failures of life. To have faith in Jesus as God's way with us is to have faith, that is trust, that God's love will find a way to rebuild relationship with us when we have failed. Therefore, and I quote, therefore, since we are justified by faith, by trust, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. Grace is the gift of love. It's a gift because it's not deserved. It's in spite of our failures and mistakes. Love is extended in order to break the strangled hold of this negative cycle. Instead of continuing to deny, repress, justify, blame, or shame our way through life, something we know how to do very well, I certainly do. Instead of doing that, we open ourselves to something else, to be forgiven. And forgiven even when we have been enemies of God rather than friends. And I quote, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves God's love for us in that while we were still sinners, in all the damage we do to each other and to this earth, we're still sinners, and Christ died for us. And so if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through Christ, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. In a moment, I'll talk a little more about how is it that Jesus' death turns this reconciliation forward. Nothing we can do will push God away from reaching out to us as God beside us. You know, Christ's death was a great act of injustice. Maybe most of us are not like the religious leaders who hated Jesus enough to kill an innocent man. Or maybe we're not like the Romans who care for nothing but maintaining their power and control and will do so whatever it takes, however many people need to be killed in the process or made an example of. But many of us can be like Jesus' disciples who are so scared to stand up with him and for him, you know, so they go into hiding, denial, avoidance. Or like the crowds, you know, who will take Jesus as long as Jesus gives them something, as long as they can get something, miracles, you know, what is in it for me? But will reject him when he calls them to find even greater purpose in giving and serving than just getting for ourselves. So we're part of that group. Jesus' death is about that. So God above us also comes to be God beside us. God above us we pray to for strength, for love and empowerment to be and do, for healing, for peace. With God beside us, we have the added movement of forgiveness, which opens the door to a new way of engaging our mistakes and our failures. We don't have to be stuck in denial, in blame, or in shame. We don't have to be stuck. If Christ crucified can forgive, then it means God seeks a new way of connecting with us and blessing us beyond anything we can do to mess things up. Are you prepared to start again and again with God beside you as Jesus opening the way? I'm sure there are many situations or relationships in our lives where this is highly relevant to start again. But the journey still has one more part for God and for us. Part three is God within. The final part of God's journey is to find a home within us. No longer are we simply praying to God above as if God is distant, and no longer are we just following Jesus as if Jesus is outside us. We also have God inside us, communing with us in the most intimate way, through our inner discernment, our conscience, our heart, our mind, our inner passion and compassion, our conversion to forgiving as we are forgiven. This is all God within. I mean, we can be driven by an ego-driven spirit. We can be driven by all kinds of narcissistic kind of foci, but we can also be driven by the divine spirit. How do we discern the difference, different inspirations within us? We have what we need to grow spiritually and to face whatever comes our way through life. God is always with us because God is in us. Do you recognize God within you? John's gospel makes this movement from God above and God beside to God within very explicit. Our lesson this morning is an example. Jesus tells his followers this: I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears. All that the Father has is mine. The Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. From God above to Christ beside to the Spirit within. That's the movement, the flow. God surrounds us and flows through us when we are in prayerful and worshipful communion with God. We pray to God above through Christ beside and experience the transforming power of the Spirit within. Okay, preacher, you've given us some fine words. At least I think they're pretty fine. But how does the journey of God and our own human journey connect, intersect? How does that happen? Well, let me give an example. I'm sure we can think of many examples in our lives where this flow from finding our purpose in God as love and our purpose as love in a situation, and then the ways we mess up and having to find our way through this journey of forgiveness to then being empowered to act through the Spirit within. This is the flow, this is the movement of God. But let me give an example, something that's in the news right now. Many of us have been following over the past few years the national inquiry on the hundreds of missing and murdered Indigenous women. The final report has come out, as many of us have heard in the news, and it has concluded something startling, that what has happened, it's part of a larger genocide committed by Canada over 100 plus years, and this is based on policies aimed at eradicating Indigenous peoples by eliminating their culture and identity and enforcing assimilation in all these ways. Residential schools was one piece of this larger process. Now, we usually think of other countries as places of genocide. You know, Rwanda, Bosnia, Nazi Germany, Turkey. But Canada? And yet the government, it's had the courage at least to accept this judgment for whatever reasons. What it will do about it, that's another matter yet to be determined. But as Christians, though, how would God's journey, as we tell it in our reading of Scripture, provide inspiration for our own journey as Canadians in relationship to Indigenous peoples of this land? First of all, we share with Indigenous spirituality a faith in God as Creator. Through the wonders of creation in our own hearts, we recognize that we must return to love as the foundation and source of genuine life and genuine relationship. Second, we have messed up. We have alienated ourselves from creation, first of all, creation itself, and claim power over ourselves not to love, but to control, to rule, and even to demolish all that is not appropriated for our own purposes and desires and utility. Whether it's creation itself or our Indigenous peoples themselves, we need to repent and seek out forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation through a decisive change in our relationships. Hence, we need what Jesus represents, Jesus who guides us and shares his life at great cost, because it costs to forgive. But it is a gift that opens doors toward healing and hopefully reconciliation and change. There is no future without forgiveness. So thinking about the Indigenous hand offered to us as the hand of Jesus offered to us. But thirdly, the journey is incomplete without the Spirit. The Spirit of God in Jesus must finally come to dwell within us as we create space within us. Cleansed and renewed through love and forgiveness, we connect with brothers and sisters, and Indigenous brothers and sisters, as people now motivated in our purposes and goals by the divine Spirit, not our ego-driven and control-driven spirits, but the divine Spirit moving within us and through us. So do you see how the journey goes? We need to make this kind of journey again and again as we navigate life in every situation, relationship, and crisis. That's the Trinity. The Holy Trinity, which is our name for God, is not just about God's journey then. It's the biblical blueprint for our own journey in life too. Our relationship to God and our own journeys, they're connected. To experience God fully, above, beside, and within us, is to make that journey. As we connect with God in prayer and worship, we discover more deeply who we are in all our beauty, but also in all our failure and fear, too. And as we experience the healing and empowerment of forgiveness, we grow a deeper intimacy with God inside as we move out into the world, emboldened by love. Isn't this some powerful doctrine? May God inspire us as we need to be inspired You know, in our fears, our uncertainties, our temptation often to despair, may God inspire us. And may God above surround us, come beside us, and flow in and through us. Are you open to God in your life this way? Amen.